Morning, all. That's more like it. Right. Well, let's pray before I say anything else. Father, we thank you that we're here together this morning, and we just pray that we will hear what you have to say this morning. Lord, that we will understand it, take it on board, and have the wisdom and the strength to put it into practice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last weekend, Alison and I were in Milton Keynes, as you do. And we went to see the church where one of my sisters has just become the curate. And my other sister was there, and her husband is a vicar. So the curate and the vicar had quite a lot of sort of churchy talk, you know, what's going on this Sunday, what's going on that Sunday, da da da. And I realised that we really don't do the church calendar in this place. We seriously don't do it. So my goal this morning is to put some of that right. Just to talk a little bit about the season. Speaking of the Church of England, just a small diversion. When Alison and I were in our sort of early 20s and we went to a Baptist church in London, we had a sort of young people's group that we were part of, and we used to have very sort of intense theological discussions at this thing. We got one of these terrible Christmas cards with a circular letter in this week, and we did smile because one of the guys who we used to know in this group, who was the most impassioned debater of all, is now the Bishop of Maidstone. It's not what you know, folks. We did smile. Anyway, well, you probably all know, even though we don't do the church calendar, that it's Advent, right? Oh, good. That's good. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus. It's not a huge surprise. It means coming. It doesn't mean coming in the sense like tomorrow's coming. And it doesn't mean coming in the sense like the 5:15 train from Bristol Temple Meads is coming. Although that's probably a bad example because it's probably been cancelled. But it means coming with a sense of expectation or anticipation. It means something or someone coming that you're looking for, expecting, anticipating. And that's what the season of Advent is. And obviously we're looking and expecting Christmas, Jesus to come as the baby. But if you think about it, it's quite possible to get Advent completely wrong. The Jews, at the time of Jesus' birth, were expecting the arrival of the Messiah. Yes? Yes. But they had very fixed views as to what that was. So when the Messiah did come, because they were looking for a military leader to kick the Romans out of Palestine. And that wasn't what they got, was it? So it's very possible to be anticipating the wrong thing. So my question to us all this morning is, what is our Adventus? What are we looking for? What are we expecting to find as we move forward into two specific things I want to talk about? What are we anticipating? What are we expecting that's going to come along in our lives? Think of it like this. What do you expect to come around the corner in your life? What are you expecting to come around the corner in your life? And I'm going to talk about two specific things. But before I do, I'm going to make a sort of controlled diversion. God told me very clearly to say this. There may be people who are thinking to themselves, well, it's all very well Peter standing up there and blathering on, but I'm scared stiff about what might come around the corner in my life. And as I look forward, I only see anxiety and fear. And I want to say to you from God, not from me, that that is not how it needs to be. All right? Everybody experiences fear at some time. It's a human thing. So you're not on your own. And nobody here is going to judge you if you're fearful. So it's not a crime. It's not a sin, but it's not necessary. And I just want to read one scripture, if I can have the first one up. 2 Timothy. I'm going to read lots of scripture this morning, most of which you will know without me even reading it, but it still needs to be said. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I prefer the King James. It says, power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind, folks, enables you to see things as they actually are. So if you can see that being fearful about the future is not what God has planned for you, that's what a sound mind will tell you. And this spirit that we have in us is not conditional. It's not conditional on how many times you've read the faith food this week. It's not conditional. It's the spirit in you that God gives you. So that spirit of a sound mind, power and love and a sound mind, is in you. So if you are looking at the coming season and thinking, flipping heck, I'm not looking forward to this, which might well be true, then at the end, when I finish, you're going to come out and we're going to pray for this spirit into you. Because we don't want anybody in this church going into the season fearful or anxious. It's not what God wants. Have you all got that? So if you don't hear anything else that I say, if it all becomes a blur, which it quite often is, remember that, and at the end when I finish, you're going to come out and we're going to pray for you. We're not judging you, we just want you to all have a blessed Christmas. Okay, right, back to Advent. Two things I wanted to talk about are expectations, our anticipations, our Adventus. The first of all, obviously enough, is Christmas, because it's not far away, is it? Now, I yield to no man in my enthusiasm for Christmas. I love it. I love all the stuff. I love all the goings on. I listen to the carols from Kings on Christmas Eve afternoon. I've been playing the Messiah in the car for weeks. And I love it. But statistically, you can't always believe what statistics tell you, but statistically, I'm in the minority. And a lot of people are not so sold on Christmas. And the statistics are true that in this country, there is more domestic violence, more marital breakup, and sadly more suicide at Christmas than any other time in the year. Now, you're saying to yourself, that's all very well, but that won't be true here in the church? Hopefully not. But we're part of the world, folks. We're going to be out and about amongst the world during this Christmas time. So we will be dealing, we will be meeting, we'll be talking to a lot of people for whom it's not unalloyed joy. And the question is, what are we taking? What do we anticipate we can do? So I'll tell you. Let's actually read a bit of the Christmas story, because that's always a good place to start. So let's start by going to Luke. My marvellous sticky bits of paper are solving the problem for me. Luke 2, this is, you know, the standard Christmas story. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." What we can anticipate, what we can expect at Christmas time is actually what it says here. And there are two things specifically for us this morning: joy and peace. It's not new. It won't be the first time you've heard a sermon on joy and peace at Christmas time. But I want to talk about it in a slightly different way. I want to talk about how we really do that at Christmas time. Look at Galatians 5:23. Again, you'll know this. But that doesn't mean it's bad. Here we are. 22. Sorry. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, we don't have time for a long theological discussion on the fruit of the Spirit this morning. But, again, like the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, it is not a conditional thing that you have to pass an exam to get or to be able to live in. It's part of the birthright that comes of giving our lives to Jesus. It's what Jesus wants to do for us. That we can do this stuff. We can be these things. So you can be joy and peace in any environment of talking to any person this Christmas time. All right? And another thing we need to know, just to make sure that we understand how we do that, 1 John 4. 1 John 4 and verse 4, and you really need to know this. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. It's talking about the people in the world. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That means, folks, that the Spirit, all the things that the Spirit has put in you, is more powerful than the spirits you will meet in other people over Christmas. So the love, and especially the joy and the peace that is in you because of these things over Christmas, can triumph over every situation, every person, every office party, school do, family get-togethers, anything. The love, the peace, and the joy will win because what is in you is greater. And we need to go through this festive season conscious of this, because it's brilliant. It's absolutely flipping brilliant. We go through Christmas with the certainty that the joy and the peace that is in us can triumph. Then you don't need to worry about Uncle Fred who's a pain in the neck at Christmas time. Do you? I don't know, have you got one? Oh, you have got one, all right. No, you don't. Wherever you go, the joy and the peace that is in you can triumph over all the situations that you meet. Joyce was talking a bit earlier about having conversations with people over Christmas. And despite all the comings and goings and the puddings and the turkeys and the this and that and the other and the tree and the doody-doo, if we're still joyful and peaceful, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has put in us, we suddenly then have something to say to people who are seriously stressed out. And we can take this joy and this peace wherever we are this Christmas. So anticipate that that's what you're going to do. Expect that that's what you're going to do. And expect that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can be these two things in whatever circumstance you find. And let me make a very practical suggestion to you. Christmas, you know, family events and doody-doo are not always a breeze. You don't need me to tell you that. Sometimes they're great fun and sometimes a bit less so. So let me suggest that you make your houses or wherever you live a fortress of joy and peace. And you do this quite simply by saying, if you're a married couple, you actually agree together that the only spirits that you want in your house are joy and peace. And anybody who comes with a spirit of bitterness, contention, argumentativeness, anger, anything like that. That spirit is not allowed in your house over Christmas, at all times, but especially over Christmas. And you can do that. You have the right to say, in the name of Jesus, spirits of anger, bitterness, dissension, you know, whatever, you are not coming in our house. And our house will be a place of love, joy, and peace. Now, does that sound like a good idea? Right. It's not mumbo jumbo. The Bible talks lots of times about our battles being against principalities and powers, not people. So we need to overcome, which we have the ability to do, the spirits that would come against us with the greater spirit that's in us. And no more important place to do it than in your house. Yeah? So I strongly suggest that to you. And then you will be astounded. You'll be astounded that when Uncle Fred and Auntie Doris and every man and his dog comes along, they might even be quite fun. You might even enjoy their company. So let us be practical about this. Just declare in the name of Jesus, your house, your flat, your bedsit, I don't care, is a fortress of joy and peace this Christmas. And that's something worth looking forward to, I think, because it means you'll have a lot of fun. As the people coming in will pick up on that and will get some of the joy and the peace that you have declared is resident in your house. Good stuff. It's not difficult. Just needs to be thought through and done. Okay, so that's the first example of looking forward and anticipating things. There's two things about anticipating and expecting what your Adventus is. It's what you're expecting and how you're expecting it. And as I said at the beginning, expecting things in a spirit of fear is not good. So we don't need to do that. Expecting that things are going to come controlled by a spirit of joy and peace, that's a good thing. So let's do that. Right, the second example, the other thing that hits us about now is the new year. Now, I know it's a bit early to start sort of talking about that, but it's not that far away, actually. And I want to talk about two things. What are we expecting in the new year, and how are we expecting? The what is quite simple. And I just want to give you two scriptures. I think there are a dozen, probably hundreds, that I could have actually chosen for this, but I just want to give you one from the Old Testament and one from the New about what we can anticipate, what we can expect to come around the corner to us, 2016. Okay, Psalm 37, verse 4. Yes. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then go to Romans chapter 8. Again, this is all stuff you know. It's not new. We just need to get it really in there. Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So what you can anticipate, what you can expect, your Adventus for 2016 is for God to do you good. You don't need a degree in theology to get that. Now, if, seriously folks, this is where you need to be honest with yourselves, not with me. If you are not convinced that God only wants to bless you and do you good things in 2016, then at the end we're going to pray for you. Because it's the truth. The truth is, 2016, God wants to do you good. He wants to bless you, wants to give you the desires of your heart. There are hundreds of other scriptures we can talk about, the good things God wants to do for you. But you need to be convinced of that. Because if you're not, it might pass you by. And that would be a shame. So, again, at the end, when I finish going on, If you are not 100%, you need to be honest with God about that. Then we need to come here and we're going to pray for you. Because we want everyone to go into 2016 expecting the good things that God has got lined up. Yeah? Now, I don't claim to be a spiritual genius. My wife is raising her eyebrows. I don't claim to be quite a lot of things, and I do get a lot of things wrong. But one thing I do know is that God wants to bless me. Don't take my word for it. Ask Alison afterwards. She knows me better than anybody else. And she will say yes. She'll also probably confirm I get a lot of things wrong. But I am convinced that God wants to bless me. I really am. I'll give you just a very, very simple, very trivial example that happened this week. This last week's been a bit mad, even by my standards. And on Tuesday night, I was in Munich Airport waiting for a plane to Paris. And the train out to the airport was late because there was some scare, da-di-da. You know, these are not good times from that sense that we live in. So I got to the airport and I go to the thing, and there is an enormous queue at security, like you might expect. And it's one of these ones, you know, where you go, you know, like this, but you do it about 10 times. Enormous serpentine queue, and I think, I had plenty of time to catch the plane. I knew I wasn't going to miss it. But I'd been on the training course all day. We hadn't had any lunch, and I was starving. This is very important to me, of course. And so I was expecting to have time to get something at the airport to eat before I got on the plane. That was my plan, right? But then there's this enormous queue, and I can see my plans going to pot. So I've been round the first up and back. So I've actually moved about 2 feet from where I started, but I've done it in a long, long, long way. Next door to me is the line for the business class people who have their own security gates and baggage checking thingies. So I thought to myself as I was standing there, this thing was completely empty, this business class queue. Oh, you know, I could really do with just ducking under the barrier and doing a quick, which I didn't do because I'm very law-abiding. As I'm sure you know. And I thought if I did that, I would have time to get something to eat. Well, I'd only been thinking that about 30 seconds, and the people on security came, opened the barrier next to us, and called me and 12 people through into the business class like. So I got me dinner. Hooray! Now, that may seem extremely trivial, and it is. And the day after, it didn't really make any difference, but that is the sort of thing you can do if you expect God to bless you. Little things and big things. Right? That's what we want. Well, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And it was just great, because God just said, yeah, I know. And God knows you better than you know yourself. And God will just want to bless you in 2016 if we're convinced that that's what he wants to do, right? So if you aren't convinced, please, we need to pray for you. Again, we're not trying to judge anybody, but we want everyone to go into 2016 expecting it to be the blessing that we're all looking for. With me? Right. Last thing. Oh, the clock stopped. That's good. That means I can't tell how long I've been going for. Have I? I might have to look at my watch. Oh, no, no. Bank's time. Right. How do we look forward? How do we expect these blessings from God? What's the way of doing it? Well, I just wanted to talk about one thing, because I really don't have time for a sort of detailed discussion. I want to talk about going into 2016, your Adventus being hope, to hope for all the things that I've talked about, the goodness. So your expectation of 2016 is based on going into it with hope. Now, hope's become a slightly sort of wishy-washy word in the English language. You hope that it'll be a nice day. but it's not something that you know for certain is going to happen or not, and it's not something you have any control over. But that's not the sort of hope that the Bible's talking about. Because it talks in the Bible about having hope in God. And I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures on that. And in this case, you are praying to someone, you are hoping in someone who can do something about it, who can change things. And things don't have to be as you see them. So hope in the biblical sense is actually a very strong thing, because we are hoping in God. And God is the strongest thing around. So it's a very positive, very powerful way of going into the new year with hope. Let me read you Psalm 33 and verse 18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. That does not lead in a lot of interpretation. It's very straightforward. If we're hoping in God, his eyes are on us. That means he knows what we're doing. He knows I'm standing in a stupid serpentine queue at security in Munich Airport. God knows, and if we're hoping in him, then he knows what we're doing, and he will bless us, as I've said. Now, just two last verses more about hope. And these are verses that we quote very often, but not necessarily about hope. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is the great chapter in the Bible. It's about love. Which we talk about love, we talk about 1 Corinthians 13. All right? So it's about love. But read the last line. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these things is love. Now, I'm not saying different to that. But hope, folks, is one of the three things that endures. It's one of the three things that lasts: faith, hope, and love. So hope is not a wishy-washy thing. It's a variable thing. It's a strong thing that stays. And our hoping in God is not a wishy-washy thing. We're encouraged in this chapter to be loving. But the other two things that also remain, faith and hope, we are also encouraged to be in them too. So being hopeful in the biblical sense is a good thing, and it's a strong thing. And it's a thing that won't change. It will last. And if we are hoping in God, then hope brings fruit, all the good things that I was talking about. All right? Last thing, and we definitely don't usually read this way. You can all quote me this, I am sure. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, we all quote this, and we all say, well, it's great and it's good. It's good that God knows that he has a plan for you. So, and there is a plan for you. And again, it's not conditional on how good you've been this week. And God wants to give you a hope and a future. Hope is a strong thing, all right? So a strong hope and a strong future. But do you know the context of this verse? I bet a lot of you don't. I had to look it up. This takes place during a time in history when the Israelites were seriously in the poo. The Nebuchadnezzar, the Persian king, had come and besieged and overrun Jerusalem. And the Jews had been taken off into captivity in Babylon, modern Iraq. Right? So this is a letter. This is actually part of a letter that God told Jeremiah to write down and send to the Jews who were in exile in Babylon. So The important thing to note about that is, which puts it, I think, makes it an even stronger verse, is that God is saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope in your future," even if we're starting from a very unpromising situation. So even if you think your life is up the creek, God's still saying this to you. And it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what's happened, it doesn't matter what your current situation is. God doesn't have versions of this for your starting point. All we need to do is to say, "Yep, I'm going with this. In 2016, I want a hope and a future. I'm going to hope in God." There's a hope as a verb and hope as a noun, but hope in 2016 does not depend on where you are now. God will deal with you wherever you are now and take you into this. Yeah? It's not conditional, folks. We all screw up. We all get things wrong. And sometimes we do it quite spectacularly. But God is the Redeemer, and God does not change his plans on how much of a pig's ear we've made of things. So really you need to know that. It doesn't matter where you currently are, this is still true. It's true for everybody here equally. One thing we all need to know is this is what I've been talking about is equally for everybody. There are no favorites in the kingdom of God. God would be just as happy to take you out of the queue at Munich Airport as he would me. I'm not special. Everybody here is equal. The Bible's very, very clear about that. And everyone can have, and really should have, the blessing of God in 2016. Right? There is nothing special about me. There's nothing special about Danny Lentani. I hate to say this. Charles and Joyce, you know, they would be the first to say that. All of us. But we are all, and doing this, going into the new year, trusting in God, having hope in the character of God, sometimes it's not easy. I'm not saying it's a breeze. But one of the things that we're talking about this year is going on journeys together. This is where it comes in. If we encourage each other to keep hoping in God, for 2016, you never know what might happen. But it'll be good. So we're on the journey together, folks. But we all need to hope in God. All right? So I'm going to pray in a minute. And I want you to come out for prayer if you're fearful or anxious about the season. We don't want you to be like that. I want you to come out for prayer if you think, yeah, having this joy and peace and being all that sounds good. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do that. I'd just like people to pray with me that that's what I'm going to be doing this Christmas. Come out, we'll pray with you. If you really don't know in your heart of hearts that God is only out to bless you, then we do need to pray for you. We're not judging you, but we do need to pray for you. And last of all, if you think, yep, I really need to get hold of this going into 2016, hoping in God, I don't understand it all, maybe don't get it, but I just want people to agree with me that I'm going to give it my best and that we're going to do it together, come out and pray. All right? That's what we're going to do. Right, so yeah, all of what I've been saying, if you... It's been a bit of a rush, and there are lots of things I could have said that there wasn't time for. If you can't really remember all the details, just think of it like this. Think of it that God the Father, your loving Heavenly Father, who is all-powerful, who has made everything from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy, that Heavenly Father really wants you, every one of us equally, to have a joyful and peaceful Christmas and a very happy New Year. Amen. stand, please, folks. Father, we thank you that you are just good and that you love us, and that this season we have this demonstrable love in the form of the baby Jesus. Lord, we were in a mess and you came to sort it out. And we thank you for that love. We thank you for that love, which is so clear to see at Christmas. And we just pray that we will be able to take the love, the joy, and the peace that the angels were talking about, that you sent in the person and person of Jesus, we'll be able to take that out into the world this week, this month, and in next year. Father, that your name will be glorified and that people's lives will be changed from darkness into light. So we thank you for this season. It's a good season. And we thank you for it. And we just pray it will be a blessing to us all, to the people we meet, the people we interact with, that your name will be glorified at this Christmas time. Amen.